Hey, you can grab a seat. What do you think? Do you love hearing those stories or what? Yeah, I love it. I love hearing the stories of people's lives. I love hearing about how Jesus transforms people's lives, changes their lives, takes them from where they were to where they are going. And it is so much fun to celebrate what God is doing together here in community. You know what I noticed over the years about these kind of testimonies when we do baptisms and really any kind of testimonies, whenever I hear people talk about what's happened in their life, I notice something that nobody ever says. Nobody ever says that on their own, they just happened to pass by Jesus and their life changed. In every testimony I think that I've ever heard, there's always a relationship. There's always somebody else. There's always an invitation. There's always the conversations. There's always the questioning and answering and the dialogue. There's always a, hey, would you come to church with me? There's always something there because God uses people to bring other people to himself. And last week we finished our series. We were calling it I'm In. We talked about commitment level. And we were talking about what are some of the things that bring us to that point where we're willing to say, I'm in with Jesus. I'm willing to commit. I'm willing to move forward. And last week we finished it by saying that following Jesus starts with a step. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your life, however far away you think you might be from God, it all starts with one step. It doesn't happen all at once, but it starts just wherever you are, moving one step closer. And then we noticed by the end of last week that it's not just the first step, but faith is always the next step. It's always the next thing because God's always calling us to come closer, to go deeper, to experience him on a different level, on a newer level, a more powerful level. And what I've realized over time is that we don't take those steps alone. Those steps that we take of faith, we take them together. And that's what's so powerful about gathering as a community and being here together. Again, you've heard it over and over in those testimonies. Someone invited me. Somebody taught me. Somebody helped me answer some questions. Somebody brought me out to learn more. And so when you hear people on their videos or talking in the hallways, and somewhere in the midst of their testimony, they want to thank Westside, I want you to know that that's you. That's not just a few of us who are leading something or are up front. That's not an institution. It's not a name on a sign. When people say thank you, because Westside has been instrumental in their journey of faith, in their story of coming to Jesus and growing in Jesus, they're thanking you. And I hope today, for those of you who are committed to this community, that that brings you a great joy in realizing that God is using you powerfully. You know, in our culture, many times church has become something that it was never intended to be. In fact, even the word in English, church, is not actually a translation of the word that is used in the Bible when we translate it, church. Over the years, it changed. Jesus, for example, in Matthew chapter 16, he said this. He was talking to Peter. We talked about Peter last week, and Peter making this incredible confession. When Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? There's a lot of people who say a lot of things about me. Who do you say that I am? Who do you believe that I am? And Jesus, or Simon Peter, replied. He said, you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God. And that's when Jesus responds this way to Peter. He says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love when Jesus says that. He says, my church, not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. If you think about the imagery of gates for a second, you'll understand this, that gates are for defense. Gates keep people out. Jesus here is saying that my church is going on offense. And we're going to break through even the barriers of hell because nothing will be able to stop what my people will be able to do, empowered by me. But that word church, when Jesus said it, he used a word ecclesia. It's the original Greek that we have written in the scripture. And ecclesia means a gathering of people united by common identity and purpose. It was not originally a religious word or something tied into Christianity. It was something that regular people, ordinary people in his culture knew about. It was used for all kinds, types of different gatherings, but gatherings of people who were united together with a single purpose. So, for example, soldiers would come together and they would have the purpose of some kind of military operation together. And they would call it an ecclesia, a gathering of people for a specific purpose. Or sometimes just regular citizens would get together in order to fulfill some kind of civic purpose together, to do something for their culture or for their society, and they called it an ecclesia, a gathering of people. And originally, after Jesus' death, his crucifixion, and then his resurrection, that's exactly what happened, is the followers of Jesus gathered together with the purposes of Jesus in mind, with the purpose of bringing Jesus' kingdom to this world and proclaiming that there's a new way to live, that God has opened up a door to show people that he loves them and cares for them, that he will forgive their sin, that he will welcome them into his family, and that through that kind of gathering, those kind of people, they will infiltrate this entire world, and by the way they live, and by the way that they love other people, they will change the course of history. And it started happening. And whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you're a Christian or not, you can't deny the historical significance of the people who gathered in Jesus' name in the first few centuries that began what we call today the church. Human history has never been the same since that time. And then a few hundred years into the beginning of the church, the history of the church, Constantine, who was the ruler of the Roman world at the time, converted to Christianity. And when he did, he made it legal to be a Christian. Before that, there was so much persecution that it was outlawed to be a Christian. But he made it part of their culture. He assimilated the Christian faith with the Roman Empire. And through that process, some good things happened and some bad things happened. But one of the things that they did is they started to memorialize significant places, places where Christians had been martyred, places that were significant because they represented people that were significant in the early churches. And so they would take those places and they would start to build buildings, memorials, to remember some of what had gone on. And over time and over history, and as they continued to translate the Bible into different languages, that word ecclesia, which always meant a gathering of people brought together, united by a common identity and a common purpose, that word, they started to insert a different one, and the word was kirka, and it means the house of the Lord. Interesting that in the New Testament, the only place that this word is used is actually to refer to temples of gods that have nothing to do with Christianity. But they talk about a building. And over time, that's where we get our English word church from kirka, it started to insert that word. And instead of ecclesia, people started to get the idea that church was this place, this house of the Lord, this building. And if we fast forward to here in our culture, our society, a couple of thousand years later as we gather, there's often confusion about what church is, and I think a lot of people in our culture, maybe you've been there, maybe you're there today, you've assumed that church is more about a place, more about a building than it is about a people gathered together. I actually think, and you'll see if you even go through our city and you look at old buildings that used to be churches that now have been shut down or they've been converted to something else, you'll see that there's, in our culture, a lot of churches that are dying, that are struggling, that people aren't coming anymore, that there's no life there. And I think a big part of why many churches are dying in our culture is because of a few things, but I think it's a focus on a place instead of a people. That there's a building but no real movement. That church is something that you just attend and show up to. And so when it doesn't become real convenient or real inspiring, people stop. It's the idea that church is something that you go to instead of something that you are. And maybe there's too much of a focus on memories rather than mission. Just like in the early church, that we might memorialize certain places or certain ways of doing things or certain things that have happened in the past. Or we talked about this last week. Sometimes we just think of what God did way back then and we have good memories of it, but we've lost the sight of what God is doing now. We've lost the sight of the fact that the ecclesia, the gathering of the people, was always meant to be a united people on mission, doing something together. Not a building, not a place, but a people that have a job to do. And maybe sometimes there's more of a focus on an institution than an invitation. An institution that some of us belong to and feel comfortable in. But if you read through the New Testament, or if you follow Jesus at all and know anything about what Jesus taught and what he modeled, is that his movement, that the people that would gather in his name would be one that would be invitational, that would always be saying, this is a group for you. One of the, maybe the only clubs or groups in the entire world that exists solely for the people who aren't in it. Because that's the mission, is to invite people to come, to experience God, to meet him, and to go deeper, and to find out what it really looks like and how God can really change and transform your life when you trust him with everything that you are, when you take those steps and you become part of that same group, united in identity and purpose, united in God's love, united in who he's created us to be. And when I think about that, and when I see so many churches that struggle with this kind of thing, we want to make it clear here at Westside, here for those of us who gather and are committed to this this community, that we never, ever want that to be true of us. We never want people to think that we're more concerned about a place than we are about being a people. That we're more concerned with memories and memorializing things than we are about mission and what we're called to do. And that we're never happy just institutionalizing those of us who are already here, but rather inviting the world around us to experience what we believe is so powerful. A God who loves us so much that he would send his son to die for us, to forgive us, and to call us to something better, to call us to something different. So for just a few minutes here this morning, I want to talk a little bit about who we are at Westside. For those of you who've been around a little while, this is a refresher course. If you're a little bit new, or even if this is your first time, maybe this is, you'll hear this for the very first time, but we just want to be clear on an ongoing basis who we are and what we're all about, so that we don't end up straying from what we believe God has called us to. And today I want to invite you into it, not just for you, because I believe that the message of what Jesus has done for us and the things that are core to our identity as a people here at Westside will change your life and transform your life. But this is not just for you, because we exist, again, to be an invitational people. And what I want to invite you to today is to take some steps together with us as a church to make sure that we're spreading this message, that message that we've heard in these testimonies this morning, to the world around us. And that's why I want to remind you right out from the get-go this morning that when you hear these stories and when people say thank you to Westside, they're really thanking you, because we're not just a place. We're not just about memories. We're not an institution. We are a people on mission together, all of us, to invite the world to know a God who loves them and will change their life. And we need you. And we're so thankful for those of you who have committed and continue to commit to this church. So what are we all about? Our mission here at Westside is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ by creating environments where people are encouraged and equipped to love God, love others, and serve the world. This is what we will rally around over and over and over. Everything that we do, every resource that we put in, is all about this mission that we feel like God has called us to. And there's a bit of a paradox in this statement, because we understand that what we're talking about here, when we're talking about seeing lives transformed, when we're looking at stories like we've heard of this morning, or week to week when I hear these stories, and I know you don't always get to hear them, but for example, last week when we had some mothers come out because it was Mother's Day and somebody invited them, and I had more than one come to me, and I know a little bit about their background. Some of these people who have been had terrible experiences in church, had been completely against church, had thought terrible things about who God is because of how they had been treated. Because somebody invited them, they showed up, and afterwards came to me and thanked me for showing them something different, thanked me that they could experience something different, and maybe just inch a little bit closer to God. And again, that's not a thankful thing just for me. That is thankful for all of us, because we know that we can't do that. We know that we can't transform a life. We can't draw someone to Christ. That only God can do that. And that's one of the things that we love so much about God, is that he is a God who steps into our world and steps into our lives and transforms our hearts and makes us new people, just like we saw here in baptisms. can't do any of that. But here's what we believe. We believe that if we could just create environments where people could experience the love of God, if we could just create spaces and places and times and gatherings where people loved each other so much and cared for each other in such practical ways, if we could just create environments where we could serve people in this world and show them that we're willing to act on the kind of love that we believe God has poured into our lives, if we could create those kind of environments based on what Jesus said was most important in this world for us to do, that people will experience God himself. And in those moments, God's Spirit will change their lives. And we have moments like that this morning where we see God doing exactly that. So listen, last week we talked about our faith in terms of steps and being willing to take steps forward. Today I want to reinforce that and tell you that we don't take those steps alone, we take them together. And that all of our stories involve other people. Maybe our parents, maybe our siblings, our friends, coworkers, somebody that invited us, somebody that cared for us, somebody that showed us the love of God, somebody who showed us that that love of God translates into a deep love for other people, somebody who served us or served others and showed us the power of that. So I want to encourage you to take a few steps. I want to tell you just real briefly how we live out these three different environments and ask you to be part of this. Again, not just for you, but I think it's going to transform your life if you'll be willing to step into these environments, but also because when you help us to build these environments, that's the only way these things get done. Then together, we go out on mission. We are an ecclesia, a people gathered, unified, in a single identity in Christ, and with a single purpose of sharing Christ with other people. So listen, we want you to love God. Would you make it a priority to be here and worship with us each week? Would you make it a priority for your kids that this is something you show them is so important to you? Not because this is a place that you come to and not because it's a thing that you check off a box, because this is an environment where we inspire not only ourselves but other people to love God with all that we are. When you come here, you are making this environment what it is for other people to experience. Would you invite someone to come and worship with you to check this out? I'll tell you why, because that's how these stories start, with an invitation, with somebody reaching out and a dialogue. Secondly, would you love others by joining a group? Just get into one of our small groups that we call life groups, where we do life together. We study scripture together, we pray for each other, and we do life. We care for one another on a deep level. This is where you're going to get to know people and you're going to experience what it is to really love other people. And that's how you get a bunch of people holding a towel for somebody, baptizing people, because they sit week in and week out together, sharing each other's sorrows and celebrating each other's victories and being there every step of the way. And then would you serve the world by volunteering just in one spot? Finding a place maybe on Sunday mornings where you can use your gifts and your abilities. We have such a wide range of things. You can see some of that literature and some of the opportunities in a pamphlet at our Connect Center, or you can fill out one of our Connect cards today and put it in the offering buckets so they come by and just let us know that you want to volunteer. You want to take that step to make sure that what happens here on a Sunday morning or on a Monday night in youth group or on a Tuesday night in kids club happens, and it happens well, because in these environments we think that there is so much power and potential to change people's lives. Would you take a step and volunteer in just one place? That's all we ask. And to experience loving God, loving others, and serving the world in this community, to help us create irresistible environments where people can come and to find God. And then finally, a fourth thing, and we're only going to ask you to do four things if you're committed to this community here. The fourth one is to give. And some of you make reaching people a priority in your finances, and we want to thank you for that. There are some of you who give a percentage of your income off of every paycheck regularly and sacrificially over and over and over. And for that, we are so thankful, because like I said earlier, every resource, every dollar that comes in we put towards creating these environments so that we can have these celebratory moments where people go public with their faith, where people are drawn closer and continue to grow in their faith, where people meet Jesus and have their lives transformed. That's what it is all about. And so I want to thank those of you who have made this a priority in your finances and just take one opportunity, just a couple of minutes, to let you know about where we're at, because this is, again, about all of us as we together make sure that these environments are top-notch and are funded. So I want to let you know where we're at, and our leadership wanted me to share it with you at this point in the year where we're at with our budget so that you know. To date, this year, our fiscal year, by the way, runs from September to August, so we're coming into the last third of the year, now. Our unified giving to date, we've given together $144,904. That puts us... in terms of our yearly requirement, where we need to be by the end of the year is $215,000 and a little bit, which means we are about $70,930 away. Or in other words, our monthly requirement, what we need every month to make sure that we do what we do here, is just under $18,000. Here's what those numbers mean, especially if you're not a big math person. We are pretty much right on track with where we need to be. I want to thank you with all my heart for those of you who give month in and month out, sacrificially off the top of your income to make sure that we do what we do. Because these aren't just numbers. These are creating environments so we can have those stories. Thank you. Now, I want to encourage you, for some of you, to take this step, or maybe to take a little step up so that we can finish this ministry year strong. We come into the summer. We know this is a time people go on vacations, and sometimes we get a little bit relaxed or we forget. And so we just want to encourage you that we're doing great. We can do even better, and everything that comes in, we're going to put towards doing ministry and creating environments where people can come and meet Jesus, to love God, love others, and serve the world. So would you continue with that? One thing I would love for you to consider, especially as we come into the summer months, if this is important to you and you want to make sure that this doesn't go by the wayside and this becomes a regular practice for you today, right now, would you take that automate the important card that's in the chair in front of you and fill it out? This will just send you directions of how you can make sure that every single month or whatever time period you want, this is just going to be an automatic thing, something that you can count on happening. Make this a priority. And we would love for you to do that. And there's other ways for you to give. We do this every week, whether it's through the envelopes that you use by cash or check or online. And whatever is good for you, we're happy with. But we just want to, again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for giving of your time on Sunday mornings to be here and to worship, for joining groups so that you can walk alongside of other people and have other people walk alongside of you, for volunteering to create these incredible environments, and for making sure that you give so that these things are all funded. Because in the end, all of these steps, all of these things we do are purely for this, that we can let people know how amazing a God we serve. So when you hear in almost every testimony video, people get up in front of you and say, I want to thank Westside. I hope you take that to heart and you know that they are thanking you for helping us create this environment that God used to change their life. And I hope today that fills you with a huge amount of joy and a celebratory spirit. And so not just from them, but from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank each and every one of you for taking these steps to love God, to love others, serve the world, to make sure that this mission is funded, because we are a people, not just a place, because we are focused on mission, not just on memories, because we are a people who are all about invitation, not just an institution. And we're seeing through that God do incredible things, because our God is incredible. Thank you. Heavenly Father, as we transition now into our time of giving, I thank you once again for everyone who's taken steps to commit to this ecclesia, this gathering in the name of Jesus in so many different ways. Thank you for the skills and abilities that people have. Thank you for the passion. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the finances. Thank you for people who are willing to give of themselves to create an environment and to invite people to know you. And thank you, God, that you do what we could never do without you, by touching lives and transforming hearts, by taking lost people and making them found, giving us life. And so, God, now as we do transition and we give and we continue to sing and worship you, God, would you be glorified? Would you be honored? Because, God, all of this is because of who you are and what you've done for us. And it is our joy to be your ecclesia, your people on mission for you to invite the world to experience you. May we see more. And may we continue to see people giving their lives to you, being baptized and following you with everything that they are and reaching out into this world with the love that you filled us with. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.